How many of you read the readings before you came to church? Okay, and of those of you who read the readings, how many of you brought a crash helmet or a life preserver? You better read them again. These readings are very, very powerful. And I've got actually on my cell phone speed dial for 911. Because I'm not sure all of you are going to get out of here alive or uninjured. The readings we have, if I had to pick three readings that really kind of go to a pow, right in the kisser type of readings, those three do it. And they are very, very serious. And we, of course, try to domesticate them. You know, oh, well, this means that, but I'm going to go home and have brunch and enjoy myself. But these readings, if we really listen to them, go to the heart of who we are. And I said that in my first homily back in July, that these readings, the Bible, is our story. And we're supposed to look at these characters that come up in these stories and say, that's me. That's what I'm supposed to be. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. Now, back in the late 80s, when the Iron Curtain fell, a Westerner went to Ukraine and asked a Ukrainian Catholic bishop, Bishop, what should we in the West be praying for? And the bishop said, pray for persecution. Pray for persecution. Wow, that's what an answer. And then there's the saying that goes like this, the gospel afflicts the comfortable and it comforts the afflicted. I think we're all pretty comfortable, so the gospel needs to afflict us more and more and more so that we can live the gospel, we can live the faith. So that first reading we have Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah was a prophet, and I think I've already said this to you, we all are prophets too. We are all prophets. Through baptism, we are anointed to be prophets. So we're just like Jeremiah. We're just like John the Baptist. We're just like Jesus, the greatest prophet. We are prophets. What did the prophets do? They said to the people, you're going the wrong way. If you take that path, great evil will happen. So get back on the right path. That's what prophets do. That's what we're supposed to be doing. If you think of John the Baptist, if you think of Jesus, what were their words of prophecy? What did they say? They said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. They didn't go out and say, have a great life. If you earn all this stuff, enjoy it. It's yours. Don't worry about other people. They said, repent. If we're prophets, we're supposed to be saying that too, to ourselves and to everyone else. So Jeremiah, unlike the other prophets in Jerusalem, he went against them. He said to Zedekiah the king, if you don't get back on the right path, destruction's going to happen, because Zedekiah was putting his faith in a covenant with Pharaoh from Egypt, hoping that they could have a coalition that would defeat the Babylonians. And God said, uh-uh, if you go with Pharaoh, you're turning away from me. And as we know, Jerusalem was conquered and totally destroyed by the Babylonians. But the people didn't want to hear what Jeremiah had to say. They didn't want to hear that they were bad, that they were doing evil, that they were sinning. So what did they do? They put him in a cistern to get rid of him. Now, fortunately, someone came along, pulled him out. But Jeremiah said what he had to say as a prophet, and he was punished for it. He was persecuted for it. And we can ask ourselves, are we persecuted for our prophecy? For our being prophets? I mean, are people turning against us because they don't want to hear the good news, the hard news of salvation? I mean, none of us do. That's why I say we domesticate it. We want to kind of compromise. We want to make it kind of nice and soft so that people won't turn against us. But it happens that when we live the gospel, we should be persecuted. And if we're not being persecuted, then maybe we're not living up to our faith. And the writer of Hebrews says, if you're going to live the faith, you're going to find opposition. And I don't think any of us yet, and that's what the writer of Hebrews says, any of us has yet shed blood because we're persecuted. Am I wrong? Anybody here being whipped or scourged? Okay. So we're not even there yet. And yet we don't want to be opposed. We want to think that if we're on Jesus' side, he's going to reward us by giving us a happy life. And what does Jesus say in the gospel? That ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. Jesus says, I have come to bring fire to the earth, to mess things up in a way, to have opposition within families. And you probably know that already, but we're not just talking about kind of the regular, the usual family interactions where maybe a son has it with his father, back and forth, that sort of thing, which is kind of natural. We're talking about very clear lines of division where one side says, it's about God. It's about God and the way of God. And the other side says, no, it's not, and I'm going to work against the way of God. That's the opposition that Jesus is talking about. And as I look at society today, I think we're kind of there. That there is this very clear division where people are lining up one way or the other, and it all comes down to what I want for me, not to do the will of God, to be obedient to the will of God, and to say the hard things in a compassionate and kind way, but to say the hard things because I desire the salvation of everyone. And that's the bottom line. God wants every single person to be saved. And do people know that? Do people know how to achieve it? Are we doing what we're supposed to do as prophets to say this is the correct path and let's walk it together? Let's hold hands, let's compliment one another, let's challenge one another, but let's do it together because we're a community of believers. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And yet, I would say in countries such as ours where we have so much more than we need, we get very comfortable. You know, we go home and, oh, let's watch TV and blah, 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 this sort of thing. It's very easy to kind of put the word of God aside because we want our comforts. And yet Jesus says, I didn't come to bring you peace. I didn't come to bring you comfort. And if we look at the model of what a prophet's supposed to be, it's Jesus Christ, right? Did he have a home? No. Did he have a condo? Did he go to Florida for the summer or the winter? Did he have luggage? No, he had none of those things. He lived wherever he could find lodging. Now, I would say if we take that story, those stories of Jesus and bring them today, we are totally different from that. We think we do it all, that it's all about us when God says, no, your number one vocation is as a prophet, as a priest, as a child of God, as a royal person. Your number one job is to make sure that you and I get the good word out that says it's all about Jesus, and when necessary, and I'd say it's very necessary, to say, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. So the more we live up to our prophetic call, hopefully, and I really mean that, hopefully, we're going to get pushback. People aren't going to like us. Now, again, we can collapse in that. So I'm not going to do that again because they really turned on me. Instead of saying, again, the scriptures say, when you are persecuted, rejoice. Rejoice. Because that is a sign that you are close to God. So the question is, do I want to be close to God? Or do I want to be close to the gospel of our secular society that says, get what you get, enjoy it, don't worry about sharing it, or at least not a lot of it, and make sure that you're comfortable. And maybe you have a little leftover, you can give that little leftover to those who are in need. That's not the gospel. That's not what we're called to do and to be. So you and I are prophets. I'm not making this up. It's in scripture. It's in the teachings of the church. You had oil put on your forehead, just like Jeremiah did, just like all the prophets did, to indicate that you have a special role in the kingdom of God, and Jeremiah is our equal. We're his equal. You may say, me like Jeremiah? Yeah, yeah. Now, we may not be as brave and faithful as Jeremiah, but we're called to be Jeremiah. We're called to be Jesus Christ. We're called to let it all go so that we can be free, truly free, to be prophets and to encounter people. Now, some people won't need much of a, let's say, a challenge. They may say, oh, thank you for reminding me. They'll get back on the path. But there are many people who may never get back on the path because they are beholden to evil, to sin. And yet that should not stop us from speaking the truth as prophets of God. So again, if we look in the world today, we have so much work to do. So how are we going to do it? Now, Jesus sent out the people two by two to go out and be prophetic, to tell people the kingdom of God is at hand, to bring peace to people, the peace of Christ, not the peace of eternal or external things, but the peace of Christ. He told them to cure people, and they did. That's what we prophets can do, should do. We all have these wonderful gifts from God. We have the commission from God. We have His authority. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to go forth and to proclaim the gospel, not just in word, but also in deed. So if we don't see a lot of great things happening, if we don't see miracles happening, it's not because they can't happen. It's because we don't have faith deep enough to go out and do what we're called to do as followers of Jesus Christ. So as you go home today, think about that. If nothing else, remind yourself that you are a prophet. Remind yourself that God did not come to bring us peace, comfort, convenience. He came to bring fire, to shake things up. So things are shook up out there. So how are we going to respond to that? And that's where we come in as prophets, deciding as individuals, as a family, as a Christian community, how we are going to do it. Not just me alone, but we. Do we get together and talk about it? Do we say, this is what I did this week to bring the good news to someone. What did you do? And what happened? Did you work a miracle last week? You did? Tell us about it. Stand up. Report on it, because we need to know that. But everything is possible with God. We can't do it alone, but God can do it. And my sense is God is just waiting. He's very patient, but waiting to have us stand up and do, step out in faith, and be the prophets that we are called to be. So again, think about how you as a prophet are or are not living the life of a prophet. How are you challenging people? How are you pointing out to them the way to Jesus Christ? And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. How are you pointing that out? And hopefully you'll be able to get into a conversation with people. And sometimes it may be a hard conversation. You'll get pushback. People may hate you. But again, Jesus says if that's the case, rejoice. So we are all prophets. We have been anointed to be prophets. And it's up to us to decide how we are going to go out into the world and be those prophets, because we want people to be saved. At least I hope that's what we want. We want to be saved, but we will not be saved unless we go out and help others to be saved. It's a back and forth situation. So as we continue to pray the Eucharist, as we are nourished by the flesh and blood of God and His voice in our readings, which is the nourishment we need, let's pray that when we go out this week, we'll remember that we're prophets and we're called to speak as prophets speak, regardless of the consequences, so that we can bring the saving news of Jesus Christ into the world, the saving news that He and He alone is the way, the truth, and the life.